This is Disabled Girls Who Lift. We are reclaiming what's rightfully ours one podcast at a time. It's Mary Beth, Chloe, and Marcia bringing you the thoughts and unpopular topics to get you out of that ableist comfort zone. Welcome, folks, to another episode of Disabled Girls Who Lift. We have Volume 2, Panel of Spoons. We're talking about chasing gains while we're always in pain. So, you know who I am. I'm Dr. Marcia. I am in South Florida, aka Land of the Seminole Tribe. I'm going to introduce each panelist so you could kind of attach names to voices. First up, in no particular order, we have Ashley from Tacoma, Washington.
How's it going?
We have Andrea from Melbourne, Florida.
Hello, hello, hello.
We have Joe from Detroit, currently in Colorado Springs.
Hi, guys.
And we have Shravia from San Jose, California.
Hi.
And Ryan from Roanoke, Virginia.
Hey, y'all.
So this part one of two, we're really going to focus on prescription meds and cannabis, because there's a lot of conversation to have there and a lot of experiences I'm sure we'll get through. And in our conversations, for people that are listening, disclosure is not necessary. We really don't give a shit what people have or don't have. If they disclose it, they do. If they don't, they don't. So don't come on this page and ask us what people have. Fuck off. So anyways, my first question to everyone is, number one, have you ever felt guilty for needing prescription medication? And number two, have you ever felt like somebody was just shoving any prescription medication at you? Two big questions, probably.
No. So I don't know if it's the same in Tacoma. It's very hard. It's funny because we have so many addictions to prescriptions here, but for me, it's really hard for me to get it. I don't really get pain meds, but just like prednisone, I've had a hard time getting, and I apparently people abuse it. I don't know why they would want to, but apparently that's a thing. Mm-hmm. So, but other than that, I've never had that problem.
Can Nurse Ryan tell us what would someone get out of it? How do you abuse, what are they getting out of it?
They can use it. So if you take a lot of prednisone, it kind of gives you that ramped up feeling. It makes your heartbeat faster. It makes you feel really high. Not really high, but it's a stimulant. And so if you mix it with other stimulants or mix it with other kinds of pain medications, it's just going to give you more of an up feeling.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all. You don't see a lot of steroid use, but it exists.
Okay.
Apparently it's popping in Tacoma.
Right.
Yeah. That's all I got for that. I don't know.
You're the complete opposite. You've never really felt guilty of it. You're like, hey, I need it, and nobody's.
Well, I used to be addicted to prescriptions too. So it's like, you know what I mean. Yeah. So it's like, it's hard for me to want to take prescriptions. So if somebody is kind of acting weird about it, it doesn't bother me because I'm like, I'd rather not have it anyways. You know what I mean? Gotcha. It's just yeah, exactly. So maybe that's just, from a different perspective. But if anybody is like, has issues getting medications for an illness they have, that's like not an opioid or anything like that, that just doesn't make sense to me at all. So.
Go ahead. I was going to say, Ashley, I feel like we're both pretty heavily tattooed. Do you think that has something to do with like a physician's issue with you trying to get your medication or not? Because I feel like
maybe I don't know. I've had them for so long that I don't really pay attention, and you know that whole punk rock lifestyle, and it's like my Vans and stuff like that. I have no idea. Like I really
I'm in the same. So I've been taking prescription medication since I was 3 or 4 years old. So it was never me going to the pharmacy was never. Anything weird or anything that I was made to feel ashamed of, or
I actually have a different experience. I feel like when I was first going through my health issues, the doctors were just trying to use anything to treat this symptom and that symptom and that symptom. There was not one pill that fit all, you know, so I had to trial and error so many different medications. And I was young at the time when I first started. And even up until this day, I've just been put through, I felt honestly like a lab rat being, you know, put through meds that they didn't even know for 100% certain was going to treat the symptoms I was having. It was all trial and error. And so personally, I feel like I got to a point where I was taking probably 15 pills a day, not any opioids, actually, just beta blockers and other prescriptions for heart rate or blood pressure, et cetera. And I got to a point where I did feel, I'm not sure guilty is the word per se, but I felt maybe like pity me, like I got to do this. I got to wake up and take these pills. Like, you know, I'm 80 years old when I'm 30. And so I don't want to say it's a guilt feeling. Definitely more of a pity party feeling. But I recently stopped all my prescription pills all at one time about a month and a half ago without going through my doctors, which I will not advise anybody to do. Okay, don't do what I did. Okay?
You just broke my nurse brain.
I know. Well, you know, I've been on all of these prescriptions for so long that I knew enough to. I didn't just go cold turkey. What is it called? Tapered down. I tapered down, and I did it the right way. However, I did not consult my doctors because honestly, I just felt like over it, just over it. If that makes any sense. I think anybody, and you guys can probably relate to that feeling. Yeah. I just felt over it. I didn't want to talk to my doctors about it. I'm tired of the doctors and the pharmacy telling me, you know, what to take and how to feel, you know? And so I just stopped. And to be honest, it was really hard at first. It was really, really hard. I was really tired, really lethargic. And I went through a lot of other side effects, but I will say today I feel so damn good, y'all. Like I feel so good. I have my symptoms every day still, and I do get IV infusions still every 2 weeks, but as far as prescription medication, I think I'm done, and I'm not really sure that I'm going to let the doctors convince me to go back on anything.
Yeah, I get all of that, and that's the reason I asked the question the way that I did, because that's been my experience, is on, like, the person-to-person end, I felt shameful. I felt guilty. I'm young. I'm healthy. I shouldn't have to take pills. Or someone would say, well, have you tried anything natural? Like, or have you tried this that's natural? You know, like people would hammer to me that, oh, you're putting things in your body and you shouldn't. But then there's this huge, huge difference when I go to the doctors and they're just like, try this, try that, try this, try that. That didn't work. 300 more. Up this, up that. So person to person, it's like, try something natural, maybe you shouldn't do it. And then when I go to the doctor's office, it's like you said, it, I'm a lab rat. So you sit in the middle of that, like, what the fuck am I supposed to do?
Yeah, and honestly, not, you know, out of the 12 prescriptions plus that I was on, I still felt horrible every day.
Exactly.
So to me, it wasn't worth it. I'd rather feel horrible and not have all these random pills in my system.
Ryan and Shravya, can you guys relate?
Yeah, to I can. I feel that, like, pity party thing for sure. Like, I held off on buying a pill organizer for so long because I was, like, when I was diagnosed, I was, about 22, and then, I mean, we were treating just the symptoms, so, like, I just kept getting worse and worse and worse, and have to take, like, more pills, and, you know, just keeps adding up, and then eventually got to a point where I'm, like, I need to buy a pill organizer, but at the time, I was, like, 24, I'm, like, what the fuck can a 24-year-old owns one of these? But I got so sick of, like, opening bottles every night that I was like, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to buy one. And now I guess I feel that just kind of, like, once a week when I just have to prepare, like, meal prep my pills, basically. But it's still just, it's, like, annoying. I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, this is stupid. I hate this.
I like that idea, though, of having the pill organizer and feeling less you only feel that feeling once a week as opposed to every day you're opening up this.
Yeah, totally. Like, it definitely helped.
I like that advice. Yeah.
It helped my morale a lot around that. Like, at least, you know, I still feel it, but it's, like, at least only once a week now. And taking the pills is just a matter of just, like, gulping them down at this point rather than being, like, okay, two of you and, like, one of you and three of you or whatever the fuck else.
Yeah, no, for me, it depends on the doctor I go to. Like, new specialists are always a pain in the ass because they see, like, this seemingly fit person roll into their waiting room and they're like, they see my med list, like, yeah, it looks like a 70-year-old woman, I know. And then because I'm a nurse, I'm constantly like taking care of patients that are in their 90s and they look great and they're on no meds. It's all like the more meds you're on, the sicker you are. And
oh my God, I got pulled over at the airport last year when I went to India because on top of all my normal meds, I had pneumonia. Mm-hmm. So I had this like shitload of antibiotics also in my carry-on. And the drug dog pulled me over, and I'm just like,
holy shit, come on.
You're kidding. This is terrible. They take out this, like, big-ass bag of all my meds, and I'm like, ma'am, what is this? I'm like, my name is on every single one of those. Like, nothing sketchy is going on, guys. Yeah, just let me have my pneumonia in peace.
Right? I had a specialist once that literally, like, he had no idea how to treat me at all, even though, like, this, he was supposed to be, he was a rheumatologist, he was supposed to be, like, my main doc, and I go in there, and he saw me twice, and at one point, legitimately handed me just a list of medications, and told me to go home and pick out which ones I wanted him to order me. Well, I'm like, I'm sorry, is this because I'm a nurse? Like, what is happening?
Why are we at a buffet? Yeah,
I didn't see him again. I was like, bye.
Oh my. Yeah, that's some shit. I've definitely had the nurses. So the doctors that shove anything in my way, but I've definitely had the nurses and like that person that's doing the vitals and like, okay, what are you here for? Da-da-da-da. Are you still taking this, correct? I've definitely had people that were like, you're taking how many muscle relaxant? Like I tried that once and I almost like, you know, all of that. Like, I don't know why you're saying the things that you're saying, but it's not helpful.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's crazy too, is a lot of times, like in my experience anyway, when I've gone to the ER or something like that, I'm in the hospital and they're going down my meds list. And let's say I'm there for something related to my illness, but let's say it's really painful and I don't actually have a prescription of opioids at home. But when I go to the hospital, right, I have a list of all these other prescriptions, but it's for my heart, it's for my blood pressure, it's for all those, for my organs, but they have such a hard time giving me anything for pain. And I don't, like, I have TATs too, but I never really thought about that being an issue. But you know, it's just so weird to me that I have literally a list of this many meds, but then when I go to the ER and I need a one-time like painkiller, they literally fight me on it. It's wild.
What I love is when the family, you know, was like, how does this all happen to you? Like, you know, no one in the family has these issues. I'm like, I bet the entire damn family has something, or there's something up there and just never got diagnosed. Like this shit doesn't pop out of nowhere, and like it's just all, you know, consolidated with me. Yay.
No, same. And in my culture, you know, you respect your elders. So your elder's not gonna be like, oh, I went to the doctor yesterday and this is what they found. Like, no. Every day that you see your uncle and your aunt, they're gonna be like, I'm good, do your homework. That's the conversation. So hell yeah, these people have everything, of course. I don't believe this shit for a second. The pain pill thing, I know in Florida is a huge deal. And they're working so hard for the opioid crisis. And I know it's national, but as far as Florida goes, I know it's absolutely trash for the people that actually need it, because they just figure that you're just seeking. So like when my mom was dying, literally dying from leukemia, they didn't want to give her opioids. And it got to the point where she had to look the doctor in the face and said, you really won't give a dying woman pain medication? And he was literally like, dropped his pen, left the room, and wrote the prescription. Like, what the fuck? Like, I understand that there are people with a problem, but now you're creating a second problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had
the opposite experience with opioids. Like, after my knee surgery, in the recovery, my first words, like, when I was waking up, were, holy fuck, I'm in so much pain. And I tried Vicodin for, like, wisdom tooth surgery and stuff. I don't react well to it, so I'm very, you know, just give me Tylenol if possible. And I remember the nurse, like, she saw me, like, being in pain. She was like, oh, I'll take care of it. She was, like, about to push something up my IV. And I'm like, oh, what is that? Oh, it's fentanyl. I'm like, is there anything else I can have? You know, she's like, no, it's clean. Don't worry. Like, it's fine. It's like, I really don't want, no, it's fine. Like, you're still under, you know, a lot of drugs. Like, we'll just give this to you. I'm like, and looking back, I'm just like, that's so fucking problematic that I literally said, I don't want fentanyl shot up my vein. And you gave that to me anyway. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, we can't win. You can't get what you want, or they give you what you don't want, we can't wait.
Yeah, the pain contract issue, it's a huge issue in Virginia as well, just because of the opioid epidemic. And as like healthcare professionals, the docs have the hardest time with it because they're getting dinged every time they prescribe opiates. So if they have an over prescription, then they're not going to get paid as much. But then you have these patients who actually, you know, need them and the docs can't prescribe them, or they send them to a pain clinic to get under pain management, and that, and pain management contracts are so strict that, you know, say you're in pain management for whatever your diagnosis is, and then you go and break your ankle and you go to the ER, well, you're in pain management, and that's great. And if they were to give you something at the ER for that broken ankle, which is, you know, a new acute problem, it's still going to break that pain contract and you'd get dropped by your clinic. So nobody wins when it comes to that at all.
Yeah, no, that makes no sense. And I'm curious, but I'm wondering if anybody has had to actually coordinate their training around their meds, whether or not, because I know there are some people in some disorders where you do infusions or injections, or there's also pills. So we're not just talking about pills, we're talking about everything. How does that work when you're trying to train?
I definitely have, when I was taking all my prescriptions, I had to coordinate. Definitely my infusions would be the number one thing that I had to fit into my training regimen, because I get into every 2 weeks. And so by, let's say, 4 days before I'm due again, my body is literally shutting back down again. And that's usually when I'm like at my peak of my like training for the week. And so I've actually had to kind of completely change my training schedule around my infusion schedule, so that way I'm getting my infusion, like, let's say the day before I do events, you know, or something like that. And then as far as prescription pills, personally, I take, or I was taking, like, salt tablets and stuff like that. And those were, I think you as well take those. And that's something that I would take during my training.
Yeah.
I just started taking that FitAid recovery after my training, and it works really well. Hmm. So I don't know if that's like, I guess that's not a prescription, but I noticed that if I take my medication in the morning, and I'll kind of get like nausea in the middle of it. And so I'll try to just drink this like weird supplement that I found in like a Gains box that I got. And it like, it made me feel really good. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't have any sugar in it or anything. So, I mean, that's all I take.
I feel like my pre-workout right now is albuterol. Just like a couple hits of my inhaler, just to make sure I don't, you know, but then before, so I'm on every 6 month infusion. And before that I was doing 3 times weekly injections, and I would have to coordinate where I would put them. And I had to do them a lot on my legs. So, and they would leave these really big bumps that would hurt really bad. So if I was like cleaning or snatching or whatever, I kind of had to watch out for that. But thankfully now with the infusion, there's no, not too many side effects. I'm usually a little groggy the day of and the day after, just because of the Benadryl that they give you, but mostly it's just my asthma I have to really watch out for.
Are your infusions IVIG? It just sounds very similar to mine.
So you don't have to answer that. Oh, no, it's okay. I'm on Ocrevus, so it's immunoglobulin. There.
Yeah, that's what mine is as well.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a little different, but yeah.
Yeah. It's, I love it. I have an infusion. I have my appointment tomorrow to get, not pre-certified.
Pre-authorized?
Pre-authorized of a medication that I'm already prescribed. I have to get pre-authorization every time I get infusion, but, yeah, I'm due for one, and I'm feeling that I'm due for one for sure.
So it's, I'm like picturing everyone always has those like epic, like, oh, I'm about to deadlift or I'm doing some crazy, oh yeah. And then they like sniff ammonia salts and they're like, ah, like I'm picturing Jonas with her inhaler instead. Like,
that's the same. You need to make throwing a TikTok down. Of that.
Oh my gosh, yes, please. Please make a TikTok of that.
I love it.
Anyone else with training and meds?
I have to wait 30 minutes after taking my medication to, you know, consume anything of nutritional substance. So I strongly prefer training in the mornings, but that time window makes it a little impractical, I guess. It's like really, it's a very minor inconvenience in the grand scheme of things. It's just like, training in the morning for me makes it so that, you know, I am a morning person. I have more energy in the mornings. I've not yet dealt with the bullshit of the day. I'd rather just lift and have the energy to do it. But I have to, if I want to make that happen, I have to wake up more early than I want to be awake so I can have my meds and then have some food, have my pre-workout. And at that point, I have such a small window to train before I have to get to work that I've just recently for the past like couple of years had to just bite the bullet. I'm gonna train this afternoon. Yeah, I'm for sure gonna go today. Like, it's gonna happen. And I've also had to learn to be okay with, say, my body just says like, nope, you've had enough for the day. Like, I've had to be okay with, okay, maybe we stay home today. You know, maybe we don't have to feel guilty about it, but we're gonna stay home today. Like, it's been weirder for me, that transition.
I mean, yeah, that's definitely something that I've had to deal with, is especially just because when I was working as a nurse on the floor, you know, my job was also a workout. So I had to tailor my, when I was lifting, especially before I was in the wheelchair, to, okay, do I have to work a shift today? Am I working a shift tomorrow? All right, well, I can't do legs because I need to have like at least a whole day to recover if I'm going to try to do like, it was a whole scheduling nightmare. To the point where I finally, like, I just stopped lifting because it was just making my mental health so awful. And it turns out, you know, it wasn't the lifting that was making my mental health awful. It was just this constant, like, battle of, okay, do I work? Do I lift? Do I, like, do I, how do I coordinate?
It's like the allocation of spoons thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Precisely. Yeah.
Yeah. And my hardest thing was the exact same thing, was, you know, having to be okay with the days where I'm like, well, you know what? My body just can't do it today. It's just, and since I've kind of adjusted to that and I started just kind of working out when I felt like I could, I'm feeling like a whole lot better. And my meds, I have issues with digestion. So I have to kind of tailor it around, okay, do I have enough sugar today? Am I going to pass out in front of lots of people for the 47 millionth time? Like, things like that, where it's just like listening to your body and not, you know, we get told every single day that we're athletes, we're supposed to push, we're supposed to fight, and we're supposed to be strong, and we're supposed to keep going more and more and more and more. And as someone that's chronically ill, you can't always do that, but that doesn't mean you can't be an athlete.
Sometimes being strong is making the right decision.
Exactly.
That's very true. And then we also have to remember, like, we're trying to do this, at least I think we're trying to do this for our mental health, for our sanity, for the long haul. So, like, if you're just chasing instant gratification and you just want to get a number and then you're done with powerlifting or lifting or whatever it is, then cool, push yourself. Pain is just weakness leaving the body. Like, go for it. Like, if you want to do this for a while, you got to play smarter, not harder. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I definitely can relate to the digestion thing big time. Because one of my biggest issues is constipation. And so if I don't do everything that I need to do, and even if I do everything I need to do, it might not happen, then that's going to affect my training. Like, how am I going to do squats when it looks like I'm 4 months pregnant? It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good. So that's probably one of my bigger problems. So I am curious, though, we're talking about meds in general, but some people have mentioned it. Is it new for anyone, like newly starting, newly changing, or newly stopping? I know Andrea said she's newly stopping, but Joe said she's been on it forever. Because Shravi, you mentioned something about it's something I had to get used to. So I don't know if this is new for you.
Yeah, I was diagnosed in 2016. So I spent the greater part of 2017 just kind of like unfucking my shit basically and learning to be a human again. Cause I was at a point when I was diagnosed where like going to the kitchen to get a glass of water was like too much and I kept falling asleep at work and it was a whole thing. So having to change my morning routine to accommodate medication, having to change like birth control options, cause that's when I went on the arm implant because I just didn't want to take more pills. So I stopped my birth control pill, got the implant, and then like have been kind of just experimenting with dosages ever since then. I have gone through a few different dosages of the same medication just to see which one seems to work best. And honestly, I don't know if any of them have like been ideal for me yet. but it's not like super new anymore. It's just not something I ever anticipated in my childhood. But yeah, I feel like none of us ever really did.
It wasn't on the vision board, that's for sure.
No.
No, it wasn't. But speaking of birth control, I actually forgot about that. Because most of us are vagina havers. Birth control is a huge problem for me also. So I used to do like the NuvaRing. You just shove it up there. You just like forget about it for a couple weeks. And then after a while, I would just bleed forever, for always. And so they were like, oh, okay. And that's when I first figured out I had arrhythmias also. And they were like, oh, maybe you shouldn't take this. It's not, it's kind of a risk. I'm like, all right, fine. And then that's when things started getting worse, is the first time that I stopped. And I would be bleeding literally every 2 weeks for like a week straight. Then I get like a week off. Back to, and there was no fibroids, there's no cysts, there's no nothing. It's the classic, we did all the tests, but you're fine. And so I definitely got on that hop around birth control movement, and I've been all over the place. Right now I'm off, but that affects my training greatly, because whenever I'm all over the place irregular, I'm absolute shit. Like everything is just absolute shit. There's no training whatsoever. So I'm not sure what everyone else's experience birth control wise goes, but I'm with you on that one.
It's the arm implant fucked my shit up. It was bad. Am I allowed to swear? Is that okay?
Fuck yes.
Fuck no.
Okay. So yeah, arm implant was like a no-go for me, and no doctor believed me until like the doctor I have now, who I just don't want to let go of because she's a godsend. But everyone else is like, oh yeah, no, like research shows that this shouldn't be causing any symptoms. And I'm like, research shows that I, a 22-year-old woman, shouldn't be having any of these symptoms either, but you fucking tell me, I don't know. So I finally gave up on that. I switched to the, it's not the Mirena IUD because that one just didn't fit. It's the size, I think it's like Kylina, something like that. And like so far so good. It's just annoying. That's like another thing to think about.
People don't want to even want to do that. They will like convince you that, oh, well, if you want to have kids, then you can't get an IUD. Like that's basically what I've been told by most of my gynos. Yeah.
Let me fight somebody. I'm a big old IUD proponent. I have had two different ones and been on them since, I've had an IUD since 2009.
Wow.
Yeah, because I didn't want to, like you said, I didn't want to take any more pills. I was bad enough remembering the pills that I had, and I'm a scatterbrain person anyway, and you know, sometimes you just learn a quick fuck that you don't want to prepare for. So, like, I was on Paragard first, which doesn't have any hormones, which is awesome, but if you already have awful cramps, and it's going to worsen everything and you will bleed more and all this stuff. So I finally went on Mirena, because that was a huge, like, I don't know, I don't like the idea of not having periods. That freaks me out a little bit. And now I'm like, God bless America. This is great. But as far as not having kids, there's several different ones. And there's a few of them that you can use while you're still like breastfeeding. They're that super natural and hormone low. And they're great alternatives for women who've like just had a baby that want to be on birth control, but don't want to have anything like that would affect the child. And they're awesome because even the ones with hormones, if you decide you want to get pregnant, you take them out and that day you are good to go. Like you don't have to wait for those hormones to go through your system because of the way those hormones are absorbed.
I personally had a bad experience with the Mirena IUD. I did the pills thing for a while too, and I was the same with you. I just wasn't reliable enough to do that. So I went with the Mirena, and I had a bad experience. It attached apparently inside of me, and they had to take it out in like pieces. So I know everybody's different. So I'm not ragging on the Mirena. It just didn't work for me personally. But it's just another, in my opinion, it's just another medication that everybody has to go through trial and error for. So really, honestly, if someone's listening that's not someone who has to take a bunch of prescription medications for an illness or an ailment, you know, if they can relate in one way, it would probably be to trying different birth controls.
I'm just like done. I'm not on anything. I've done the pills. I'm not IUDs. The idea of it just freaked me out. I don't even like any pap smear.
Why wouldn't you want a pap smear? I mean, who doesn't want a pap smear?
Who doesn't love the feel of cold metal?
What do you mean? She's great.
Oh, it's So yeah, I'm on nothing, just queer sex. That's it.
Good to go. Don't have to worry about it.
Don't have to worry about it.
There you go. Sounds good. Sounds good.
I love you.
So does anyone have anything else to add about prescriptions? We talked about pain pills. We talked about stigma a little bit, and then birth control. Are we missing anything before we start talking about weed?
I feel like I got, and I don't know if this is because I'm in Colorado, but I've met a lot of people that have the same condition as me, and nobody I've met is on any prescriptions. And I forgot to mention that because it made me feel weird for being on prescriptions. And then I'll ask about, you know, what their symptoms are and all this and that. And it really seems to me that there's such a big difference between my symptoms and their symptoms. And I try to, you know, talk to them, and I get what, you know, everyone has their own reasons for not taking any medication, but it's just, I just haven't met a lot of people with my condition that are on anything, which for me, you know, my condition is like a relapse can happen at any moment, and it's really terrifying. So the risk kind of outweigh, or the rewards outweigh the risk for me, I think. But
I'm on a group for my vasculitis, and everybody else takes way more medication than I do. Like, everybody else seems very, I seem very well off, and I don't feel well off, but compared to them and all the problems that they have, I'm just like, holy crap, dude, and you're all on all these medications, like, and they're my age, sometimes younger.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah, it's kind of confusing. I don't know.
I can't do those groups anymore. When I first got diagnosed, and my doctor is like, oh, you know, join all these support groups and all this and that, and I did, and it's so stressful, and it's just, oh, I hate to sound insensitive, but it's just like a bunch of crybabies.
Like, yeah, I have the one, but yes. I haven't met anybody, like, I've never met anybody with Behçet's. I've never met them. I've never heard of anybody with it. And so it was cool to, like, be able to, you know, just kind of, like, make sure I'm not weird, or, you know, like, yeah. Sometimes people think, sometimes I think I might be faking, and I'm like, you know what I mean? It's just,
yeah.
So it's, like, it's cool to be on this, but it's also kind of cool just because I'm, like, obviously I'm doing something right, and I don't know what it is, but I'm going to keep doing it because I don't want, like, the kidney failure and all the stuff that y'all are having over here with this, like, I'm going to stay over here.
Right.
Yeah, the groups are good to relate to, but sometimes I think they get a little bit overbearing with, it almost becomes a competition.
Mm-hmm.
Who's sicker than who? And I feel, you know, it drives me crazy when I see that, because I don't think anybody's feelings, or, you know, what they're feeling in their body should be get downgraded because somebody has it worse. And so I try to steer clear of those groups as much as I can as well, even though it is nice to relate to people.
It is nice. I feel like it turns into people are trying to be everyone else's doctor and trying to figure out where their disease came from and who else's parents, you know, was a veteran and who else used to, it's just, you don't need to even think about it. It's just so stressful.
With the groups, I go to, like, the subreddits for them sometimes, and, like, it's weird to feel kind of imposter syndrome with a disease that, like, you know affects you, but, you know, when I was diagnosed, my blood wasn't quite as bad as this person, so, like, am I just fucking weak? Like, what's the deal? So I stopped looking at them for a while now. It just wasn't worth it to me anymore.
Yeah.
Especially when I had a really hard shit. And you have no one else that knows what the hell you're talking about. You're like, oh, you too? Great, we could talk. And then you, like, get on there, and you're like, we can't talk. All
right. Yeah, I climbed a mountain last week. No, it was 2 weeks ago. Well. I climbed a mountain 2 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, and it was, like, 90-degree heat, and I was dying, and it was horrible. But I had a great time. And I came down, and I had, like, blood pouring down my nose, because something about me doing aerobic activity makes me get nosebleeds. And it made me feel kind of badass. I'm like, you know, at least I can get out and, like, not have all these wires and whatnot hooked to me, and I can go climb a mountain and, like, get a nosebleed coming back down and being like, you know, it's the life.
Yeah. What were you going to say?
I've had such a hard time with those groups just because so I have Ehlers-Danlos, and I get these girls that are diagnosed so young, and they're like, oh, I have EDS, so I'm looking at all these other Instagram people, because that's the only place you're going to find people with EDS. I'm supposed to be getting infusions. I'm supposed to have a port. I'm supposed to have a feeding tube. I'm supposed to. And they're like these 15, 16-year-old girls, and I'm like, nurse brain screaming at these horrible infection sources that I'm just like, you don't want these things. This should be the last thing you're going for. But that kind of community has almost glorified it, because it's this disease and it's this illness that has kind of taken over your life. But a lot of these girls, well, and boys too, can't work. So all they're doing is they're on that Instagram, they're on that community, just like seeing what else they can ask their doctors for. And then they like come to me and they don't like my answer when I'm like, no, none of that. Like, I know it's gonna be hard and I know you have to work harder for this, but you can't do this, this, and this. And because of that, I got kicked out of a bunch of them and got told I was faking.
That sounds like Crescenda. You and Crescenda would get along. She has like a fucking trove of Reddit trolls. It's great. And they all accuse her of faking all the time because she says she lifts and whatever else she says on there.
I will say on that note, when I was younger, maybe I wasn't like 16 like those girls, but when I first started off on my journey, I went to those groups and I was one of those people who were like, oh, this person says they're on Mitodrin and this person says they're on propranolol and this, you know, maybe I should bring. So I literally would write them down and then I'd bring it to my doctor and I'd say, look, all these other people who have the same thing are on this, this, and this. And so I was almost guilty of pushing pills on myself when I first started, because I was reading into everybody else's stuff as opposed to just letting my doctor handle it.
Who can blame you?
Absolutely. If your doctor's not going to do it or not going to suggest or anything or not know what to prescribe, then where else are you going to turn? But, you know, internet strangers of, hey, let's try something.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you know, it's amazing to me that, so I got my marijuana card. In Florida, only medical is legal. There's a whole gatekeeping bullshit. But anyways, I took my stimulus check and I got a card. And so, you know, I went through all of that and now I'm pretty good. I don't take prescription pain medication or my nerve pain medication or any of that anymore. And I'm feeling pretty okay. And at this point, I'm like, okay, I'm like 5 years in and not one doctor has ever said to me like, you ever heard about cannabis? Like, not once.
I don't think I've had a physician ever.
My physician mention it to me. Did.
But Washington is a different ball game.
Yeah, well, and true. And it sucks because I've had him, I don't know how long it's been legal for here, to be honest, because it took me a while to actually go into a store because I'm so used to like getting dime bags behind the gas station when I was a teenager. So it took me so long to go into a weed store. And then when I went in, I'm like, oh my God, this is ridiculous. Like, I don't even know where to start. Like, what do I do? So can I just get some weed that gets me high? Like, what kind of high? I'm like, what do you mean? It's gonna be high.
The high kind. I just want the high kind.
Yeah, I have, when I got I got diagnosed in Michigan, and this was in West Michigan, so it was a little bit more conservative. Weed was like medicinal, but like the state government still thought that CBD was like a bad thing, so like, these stores would come up and then the state would shut them back down and everything. So, but I was able to get my card after my diagnosis. And while I was in the hospital, after my diagnosis, I had asked my doctor, because like when I first got diagnosed, it was just like, what are my options? And I didn't want to go on any sort of pharmaceutical because of all the side effects and this and that. So I looked into weed because I had already been smoking for years and years, and I was like, cool, I can get my card now. But I talked to my doctor about CBD products, and he told me that CBD isn't real. Just not a thing. Don't even look at it.
I don't understand. It must not exist.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, no, that's not real. I was like, okay. Thanks,
bro.
Oh my gosh. Neither is your PhD, apparently.
Yeah. Yep.
That was his stance on me. And I was told that if I smoked weed, it would make my condition progress faster and it would make everything
Was that like a real comment on the method or the form in terms of like smoke inhalation, or was it just all around stupid?
Didn't matter, smoking it.
Okay, or there's them.
Right, eating it, right. Yeah. Right, like, so when they told me, so with MS, you know, your brain will shrink twice as fast as normal people.
I didn't know but, MS was brain shrinking, but okay.
Oh, okay.
I didn't either. But if you smoke weed, it's 3 times as fast.
What?
Your brain will shrink. Yeah, that's what I was told by my doctor.
He gets paid.
Red flag. Like, sir, can you produce that study for me? Like, I feel like you've been watching Reefer Madness in the break room, and I don't think so.
Seriously. Wow. I'm in California, and weed's been medicinally legal for a minute here, but when it first became medicinally legal, I was in college, and this is when I was, like, starting to feel, like, my symptoms get worse, like, to a point where my professor that I was researching with, you know, he called me in for a meeting, and I was like, oh, it's about my research, and he calls me in for a meeting, he's like, are you okay? You look like shit.
Thanks.
So, I'm just like, I don't know, but, you know, I was, like, in pain, I was super tired, super just, like, not good, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, weed will help, you know, just get a card, but then you have the contrast of that, all the people, like, faking glaucoma to get medicinal cards, and it became like a whole joke, and I was like, well, I don't want to be a joke, I don't know what to do. So I definitely, like, was very apprehensive to go down that route for a very long time, but I am glad that I got over that, because it's amazing.
Yeah, no, I can relate to that, because it's like, down here, it's always something that I never looked down on, I didn't feel any type of way about it. Just personally, I've never been a substance person. Like, I barely drink. Like, I'm cheap. I don't want to spend my money on shit. Like, I'm good with my energy. Like, I don't need anything extra, whatever. So people just assume that, like, I was judging them. People that smoked or did whatever they did, they just assume that I'm judging them. Really, I'm just like, I don't want to spend any money if I don't know what this is about. And I don't have any money to spend. That was pretty much it. So then now that I got that stimulus check back then, I was like, all right, I got some money and this is what I'm going to spend it on. And so I posted the story like, oh, drop your recommendations. I know nothing. And I meant it. I know nothing. Absolutely nothing. I started from scratch. And it's amazing to me how many people who don't advertise anything at all, that they take anything, are like, oh, yeah, I've been taking this strain for anxiety for the past 3 years. Or, oh, yeah, I take this and this edible, and then I take this sativa as a pre-workout, or I take this and this. And I'm like, where have you guys been? Like, what are we ashamed of? And we're not even talking about illegal use here. I don't get it.
I don't know. There's this one strain called Where's My Bike? And it's funny because my friend and I went to a dispensary right before we were about to go to the gym because we wanted a sativa for pre-workout. And this chick was like, where's my bike? And we're like, oh, yeah, that sounds funny. And then we smoked it, and it was legit. Like, we were on the mat for about 45 minutes being like, what do we do? I don't understand what to do. What do we do? You know what I mean? And that's like, you can kind of tell by the title. So like Purple Train Wreck, you're like, oh yeah, I'm a train wreck. I'm gonna be a train wreck today. You know what I mean? Or like a lot of the fruity ones or sativa. So like Strawberry Cough. Is this common knowledge?
No, nothing is common knowledge.
Oh, okay.
Nothing is common knowledge. Not for me. I knew nothing. And the other problem is that people have the like generic description, right? Like sativa's energizing, indica's relaxing. And it's like, no, for me, my body is always energized. I took sativa. I felt like I was on crack cocaine. It was not good. Okay, it was not good. I did not need it. Like, I was like jittering. I was like jumping up and down. Like, I'd sit down, I'd get back up. Oh, where's my water? I'd sit back down. Like, oh, what am I doing? Like, no. So when somebody was like, oh, you're tired all the time, try sativa. Sativa's energizing. Like, no.
See, I'm the opposite. It doesn't matter if it's sativa or indica to me. It's just, they're all downers.
Yeah, like, so it really has nothing to, well, okay, obviously there's something about it, but really it comes down to, like, what is it made out of? What are the terpenes and what are those properties? Yeah. So I had to, like, get, if you would see my Excel sheet, like, I went in.
Excel sheet?
Yeah, will you send that to me, then?
Like, I'm on YouTube.
I went in, like, the terpenes, these are the strains that, like, I went and, like, looked up research articles, people with MS take this, all right, put this down, people for rashes take this, all right, write that down, I looked up the strain, what percent THC is in this one, like, I really had to do that much.
I know for MS, it's like the Charlotte's Web CBD strain or weed strain or whatever is supposed to be really good, but it's like so expensive. Oh, it's too
brand.
Yeah,
the brand is super expensive.
You gotta grow it on your own. We used to have a lot. Am I allowed to say that? Probably not. Yeah, we used to grow it. And because I was having to buy it a lot because it's the only thing that helped me sleep, especially on like high doses of my medication or when I was like feeling really sick and I needed to eat. And so I would just like, I would go through like a quarter a day sometimes just trying to like stimulate my appetite or do anything. And then he was like, why don't we just grow some? I was like, all right, cool. And then you could walk past our house and it smelled like, you know, we were doing some stuff. I'm like, we need to not do this anymore.
Yeah.
And I have a 10-year-old and I'm like, I don't want, you know, her to go to school and have it, you know, have it smell. Yeah. And, oh, I don't want to deal with that. So
it's unfortunate that you really can't do that. I know a lot of people who make Rick Samson oil, even though technically it's not something you're supposed to be doing, right?
Yeah. So the RSO, yeah, that stuff. I have a friend who makes that stuff and he'll give it to us in little vials and he just says take like start with a half grain of rice and then move on from there. And I really like that stuff. And now you can get it in dispensaries too, which is kind of weird.
No, it's not weird. They can make money off of it.
Well, it's just weird. It's just weird to me that like the state is banking off this right now. And like, I just would much prefer to get it from a good old fashioned dealer. And I can't do that anymore. So at least in Washington, but I like buying it from my friend versus buying it in a store. Maybe it's, I don't know why that is. Maybe, I don't know. I don't trust the manufacturers to tell me the truth. I really don't. So yeah. Are you really putting this many milligrams in it? Or are you just jousting me? Like, I don't know. I don't trust them. So
I also feel like for the most part, you're kind of just paying for the fancy bougie packaging and dispensaries now. Like,
yeah. And taxes and stuff, you know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know.
Like I was looking at the tins of my little gummies yesterday, and I was like, these are so, like, well-made and beautiful, but what do I do with my fucking edible tins after I'm done with them? Like,
ew.
I don't need them. Like, why put so much artwork into them? Like, I mean, if that's your thing, like, you know, that's what you want to put your art into, like, it's cool, but also, I really feel like I'm just, like, paying double the price for the fancy, pretty artwork on the tin when I just bought my goddamn gummies.
Yeah, I feel like there's... my husband's really into learning about this stuff and I love learning about all the different types of ways you can use marijuana. And I just feel like, yeah, the medicinal properties of it are kind of getting tossed up in the, just like the stigma of being high and also just like the money and the fancy packaging. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's not taken seriously as something that can help people.
No, it's not. It's just like
especially
another.
Especially now.
So it's another.
Yeah, one.
It's more.
You just see like the trash everywhere from like the packages and stuff like that. And it's kind of just becoming a burden when it should be like researched more and touted as like a prescription, I guess, you know, like a natural prescription that's prescribed more like widely throughout the country. So.
Yeah, no, that makes some sense to me. Where would you get what? The tins?
Where would you get if somebody were to prescribe it?
Your well, in Florida, you have to see a separate marijuana doctor.
Right. So it was a doctor that I got my card from, and it was just like, geez, he must have been 100 years old. And he was like, what? What's your problem? And I was like, oh, here. He was like, scribble on a piece of paper. And he was like, okay, here it is. You know, send this into the state and you'll get your card. But he wasn't like, he didn't prescribe me anything.
No, you're on your own. You're absolutely on your own. Yeah. The only thing he told me was like, I'd say start your day with an inhalation and maybe you need a tincture. Try that out. That was it.
Yeah, but no like strain or
no strain,
how much.
No nothing. No like, oh, you have nerve pain, maybe you could do the topical or like, oh, you have this, maybe go at like, no, all of that you have to do. You're all totally on your own.
Yeah, and even the people that work in the dispensary, you know, they're making minimum wage. They don't really.
Yeah, they're just people.
They're just people.
They're not people like us. You know, there's a lot of different uses and ways you can get a card. So you can have a card for PTSD and anxiety and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So when they see you, they're just assuming that you're young and you look fine. Oh, you just need to mellow out. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, no, it feels like I'm walking on a plane of needles. What can you do for me? And they're just like,
yeah.
What does that even mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, for that too, they always suggest CBD. And me personally, CBD does nothing for me.
No, nothing.
Me neither.
Like, same. At all. I see my friends smoking it and they're like, yeah. I'm like, seriously? Like, you're on a one ratio. I don't understand how you're feeling some type of way right now. Yeah. I feel like it's just a waste
CBD
of money.
I use CBD as
me.
Like a booster for my THC. Because yeah. It's a little bit cheaper. So it's like, I don't know, like instead of taking two gummies, I'll have like one gummy and like a dose of CBD. And that seems to kind of help,
you
know, the THC
together.
Take effect or whatever more.
Yeah, but yeah, I like the topical
alone,
use.
I don't know if it does anything to me.
Topical use works really well for me. Like if I like the Dragon Balm, it has a THC CBD mix and or CBD just in general creams, I feel work topically. So I don't maybe... I don't know. I'm not good at chemistry, so maybe that has something to do with it.
Yeah, and then there's also, so personally for me, when I do my little vape and whatever, like, I don't actually get high. Like, there's nothing about highness that I get. It's like, for me, like, taking a muscle relaxant that you can still drive on. Like, that's it. I don't really feel anything. If I don't take it, then I can tell the difference. Mm-hmm. Tell somebody, oh, you know, I started weed and it's, like, helping me. And they're like, really? Like, today? Yeah. What you mean?
Uh-huh. I took a tea break for the month of August, which we're still in. I had a really bad week last week, so I had to do my tea break like 4 days early because I was like, fuck it, whatever. But I don't think I realized how much upper shoulder and neck pain I had until I stopped taking my weed regularly, and I was like, oh, it feels like I got hit by a car every morning.
Yep.
Damn.
Yeah.
I missed that shit.
Yeah, that's me for sure. Like that picture when they teach you about meningitis in school, like, okay, kids, if you get meningitis, and it's like that picture of the person bending their head and there's like the red lines, like, rah, 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 like that's me. That's definitely.
I can say though, I took a, now that we're on weed, I love weed, so we could talk about this all day. I took a capsule with THC. It could have either THC or CBD. That's what my friend told me. He was like, go ahead, take it. I don't know what it is. It's one of them, though. And I'm like, all right, whatever. And I took it. And about an hour later, I thought I was going to die. And I never felt like – I felt like THC had betrayed me. Because I know it raises your heart rate. And I'm laying in bed. And all of a sudden, I hear my heart – like my heartbeat. And I feel it through my throat. And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, I'm going to die. And I'm trying not to get paranoid. Like I'm really – I know people get bad anxiety on this sometimes. So I was really trying to talk myself down. And I'm like, all right. It's okay. You know, it's not, it's just weed. It's fine. And I called my husband. I'm like, I think you need to call the ambulance. I'm going to die. Like, get me out of here. I don't know what's going on. And he comes home with like a baby Ruth and is like, here, eat this. And I'm like, okay. And I slept for like 4 days.
Whoa.
Damn.
And I took, you know, so after that, I'm like, what was in this? Oh, it was 50 milligrams of THC. And I'm like, Jesus criminies, dude, this is for like cancer patients. Like, I was high for a while and I liked it, but that immediate, like, oh my God, I have so much THC in my system and it can't come out. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I've never had that feeling with marijuana, nor did I ever think you could ever feel that way.
I had the same experience, or not the same, but a very similar experience the other week, actually. I took kind of this break from weed because I feel like when the pandemic first hit, I was just all the time. I was just high all the time. It was just like a numbing thing. And it was fine, and it was just, like, the state of being that I was in, and I didn't really notice that I was high. But then I noticed that I kept forgetting things more than I normally do. So I kind of took this break from Denver to Colorado Springs, and it's not recreational in Colorado Springs. Everywhere else it's recreational, but in Colorado Springs it's not. So I took this kind of big break, and my friend gave me this package of edibles, and I had nothing better to do one day, so I took some, probably about 25 milligrams, and I had convinced myself that I was having a relapse. So, like, it started in my toes, and then all of a sudden, I couldn't feel my legs anymore, and I was like, here it is, I have to call the doctor, I have to go to the hospital right now, and I was like, I just took edibles, it's fine, it's just anxiety, and I needed to just, like, go to bed right now, and I just like slept for 12 hours. And that was fine. Yeah, but and that's the same thing where I feel betrayed, because you hear about people that have smoked weed for a long time and then all of a sudden it's like, now it's anxiety producing instead of anxiety relieving. And then, you know, I waited a week and then I took some more edibles, just a smaller dose, and it was kind of the same thing.
Yeah, it took me a while. I was like, oh, I was scared of it for a minute. It was like having a really bad hangover and being like, I'm not going to drink for like a week. But I was really scared of it. And since I'm going backpacking tomorrow, I needed edibles because I can't smoke, you know, forest rangers and whatnot. And so I had to take some just to make sure that I wasn't going to lose my shit like 5,000 feet up in the air. Yeah. And now that we're like talking about it, I'm like, oh, you know, like it feels weird. And I've read about it a lot that it does raise your heart rate and it does cause anxiety. But at the same time, it's like if you kind of take control over that and not let it get to that point and you kind of like bring yourself back from the cliff, you're able to like really enjoy it. And I think that's like the main thing is when people who are taking medications and I'll say, hey, have you tried this? And they're like, no, I get really bad anxiety. And it's just like, you know, I think that is expected, but we're able, like people who are seasoned smokers and kind of just like in touch with themselves and their bodies are able to kind of calm themselves down and enjoy it a little bit more.
I think also it just brings out what you already are or what you already have going on. So this is like mid pandemic, you're already stressed the fuck out and you took something that can heighten that. So and it's like something that, again, like nobody really prepared you for, because you're supposed to be like the guys in the movies, like always chill. Like, no, that's not really how that works. If you're an anxious person, you take something that could make you more anxious. That's real.
I don't think marijuana is any different than prescriptions as far as the trial and error. I think, you know, the CBD, all the different strands of everything, you have to go through the same trial and error that you would with prescription medications. Obviously, it's more holistic, and there's no serious side effects or anything, but you still have to go through that trial and error. You know, everybody was saying, this works for me, this doesn't work for me, you know, this makes me more tired. Everybody's different. I actually haven't gotten the opportunity to get my medical card yet. I can definitely get it. Honestly, I would have to say that I had that same feeling of guilt about getting the card when everybody ran to go get a card. I didn't want to be one of those people going in there, even though I knew that I needed it. I knew that I could benefit from it. I felt guilty going into the doctors and asking for it. And I think that's kind of a shame that, you know, people who actually could benefit from it possibly do not get it because of the guilt that comes along with trying to go into the doctor's office and not be judged about it.
Yeah, that's my issue the same way. So I'm in Virginia, and so I don't know a single person with a medical marijuana card. It just kind of, it's legal medically, but barely. And so people are just starting to get it. Like, I have no idea how I would even go about getting it. And I know the responses of my coworkers to marijuana and marijuana use in our patients. And it's just so incredibly negative, especially because you have patients that'll come in with cyclic vomiting syndrome that is caused by excessive cannabis use, and they refuse to quit smoking and they just keep coming back and exhausting our resources. And so there's just that a negative connotation in the healthcare world where I live right now. On top of that, like, I know I'd be able to get a card if I went to my doc and put it the right way, but then it's kind of like, well, also, like, I'm a nurse, like, how are you guys dealing with that as far as, like, I get drug tested, so I don't know what, because Virginia just hasn't been faced with it yet, so they don't even have anything put like protocols, because healthcare workers are not supposed to be sick.
Yeah, that's true, and that's a whole nother level to consider. Like, a lot of places will have blanket zero tolerance. Don't care if you have a card. Don't care.
Which is wild, because with prescription opioids, they can go to work on those, but you can't go to work on medical marijuana.
Yeah, I think muscle relaxants in the world and still show up, but that's fine.
Yep. But you smoke a little joint before and
no.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Does anybody use it around their workout, or is it like, for me, whether it's training or not, for me, I start and end my day with the same thing. And then if I have a lot of nerve pain, that's when I get my topical and do the rub. Like, that's as needed. But otherwise, like, it's a schedule. Start and end. Wake up, sleep.
I was using CBD gummies for a period of time, and I would use those directly before my workout, and I found a lot of pain relief in that, but they were so expensive. I just couldn't keep getting them. It was like $70 for like 20 gummies. It was just ridiculous. And so I stopped using them. But as far as actual marijuana, personally, I have to train first because it gets my heart rate up, and I think it lowers my blood pressure and actually makes me really dizzy. So it fixes a lot of other things I have issues with, the eating, the digestion, the anxiety, the pain, everything else. But unfortunately, it fucks up my heart rate and my blood pressure. So I have to wait until after. It's kind of like my reward after training, to be honest.
I like to use hybrids as a little like pre-workout for my mobility days. I think it helps me with like the mind muscle connection. I don't know if that's like a real thing or like it's just like me wanting to get high, but I like it.
I feel like I was gonna say the same thing. When I was smoking, I would smoke just a little bit before Olympic weightlifting. I feel like there's a lot of body awareness. You can go into a kind of a more meditative state. Or I feel like Olympic weightlifting, it's so technical. If you overthink, you're gonna get it wrong. So I would smoke just a little bit and just kind of let my body do what it does. But then if I smoke too much, and then it's, you know, what set am I on? Like, what's going on? This is the trial and error.
So in terms of money and cost, if I wanted to get if I want to get the card from scratch, that's like $75 cash to the state. And then I have to visit a doctor twice because that's how they set it up. They want to get you twice. So then I'll spend almost $300 just to get the card, which is just nuts.
That's ridiculous. What?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is just a money pit now. Like, this is just all for money. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, it pisses me off. I'm getting all frustrated now. But I, like, for me, the cost just, I guess, you know, like I said, I can go and just buy it. And for me, it's no different than paying a copay on like a doctor's office visit to get a prescription written and then having to like renew that prescription each month. I know that my money isn't necessarily going to the pharmaceutical companies. It's going to like the growers that are like down the street from me making this marijuana. And it makes me feel a little bit more better. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's not big pharma.
Yeah, but I'm not sure how the prices are with medicinal versus just like walking in. Like, is it more expensive?
Or like in a state that's totally legal versus just medical? Probably expensive because they're gatekeeping it. They're limiting they literally limit like how many clinics can. It's legal in my state, sort of, which is why it's cash based. And then they limit how many clinics can exist, and then some cities are like, you can't be here, you can't sit with us. So there's a lot of gatekeeping. So it's ridiculous because there's tons of black and brown people in jail for weed, and now like white people are selling it like hotcakes.
Yeah, that's what I was about to get into. Like, you know, the people in prison, like, then I was like, don't do it, girl.
Don't make no sense.
No. Yeah, exactly. It's just like, it's, you know, the state's profiting off of this stuff and people are suffering because they freaking, like, you know, got caught with, like, you know, not even enough to get me high for a weekend. Like, you got to be kidding me. You know what I mean? It's like, that part is very frustrating. And also, like, like me personally contributing to that type of market also kind of, like, it's a lose-lose situation. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
And I don't know if this is different in other states. In Colorado, I think it costs, I haven't got my medical card yet just because I can just go to the store and I don't want to spend the extra money if I don't have to. But I know that in Colorado, it's cheaper if you have a medical card and it's better money. So I don't know if you're saying the opposite is true where you are. So if you're just recreational, it's not as good and it's more expensive.
So they're not doing all of the like quality control, quote unquote, tests. Is that the difference? Because like right now, if I get with my medical card, the medical only marijuana, like I could look up the batch number and like see all the shit they tested. Maybe that's the difference. Like, what's the difference?
Maybe.
Oh no, I can look up the batch. They have like batch numbers and all sorts of information on the packages.
Yeah.
I thought that the medical was higher THC.
Oh, okay. All right, maybe.
Maybe, but I've also heard that it's better quality, so maybe they have to, like, there has to be some sort of, like, filtering process.
It's like going to Taco Bell or, like, making your own burger or something. What is this?
Yeah, maybe it's, like...
like, with meat? Is that what it is? I don't get it.
I feel like maybe it's harder to get a medical card here than, like, in Michigan. It's, like, if you just had, like, back pain, they would give you a card. Because everyone just, in order, there's only medicinal in Michigan. Or here, there's both. So maybe there's more of a, you actually have to need it beyond, like, one thing hurting. Or you have to have, like, some sort of a diagnosis. I'm not really sure.
It's all weird. I don't know.
Yeah.
Got me thinking about the whole entire system now. Like, that doesn't make sense.
It's a hot mess. But I can definitely understand why Big Pharma was not really happy about weed. Because it cut out a whole lot. It cut out a whole lot personally for me. It cut out muscle relaxants. It cut out all the like 3,000 milligrams of shit I was taking for nerve pain. Like, gone, done, don't need it. Like the PPIs and all that, whatever, gut stuff, gone, don't need it. So I could definitely understand why they feel some type of way about it, but too bad.
Now I just feel like it's just now there's like a big weed industry now that's just kind of its own monster, you know. Yeah,
definitely. Any closing comments, questions, or concerns, or anything that you feel like somebody should know if they have questions, comments, concerns about prescription meds or cannabis?
Dang it! There's a website, and I'm trying to remember. Yes, Leafly. Yeah,
that's Leafly's, where I got most of my
stuff. Leafly is like the most consistent because a lot of these strains, you know, you go to a dispensary and the people aren't trained to tell you, you know, what everything is. They just know based off of word of mouth or what it did for them. And, you know, see, now I forgot I was talking about because I was eating like these weed candies right before we got on. So I'm just going to.
Bring it in. Good. Okay. Ashley wants people to go on Leafly for information.
Yes.
And I second that. Next caller.
Oh, man.
Personal trial and error.
Yeah.
You know, whatever works for you doesn't work for the next person. And
I would say if you have the card or the medical card or whatever, you spend all that money just to get into it and you're worried about whether or not you're going to waste money testing strains, you could do what I did and have somebody as a backup ready to buy the shit that didn't work for you. That's how I didn't lose the money. Don't come for
me. I just always just smoke it. I'm like, whatever, I'll just smoke it.
No. The crack cocaine sativa had to go. It had to go. I couldn't do that again.
Oh, man.
You know, like the meth jitters.
It was bad. Oh, my gosh. It was so bad.
A lot of my concerns starting out were like the anxiety because I'm an anxious person. I've had a couple bad highs before. Like what I wish I had known is that like it's okay to get high alone. I think there's a whole stigma on, you know, like you shouldn't do this alone. Like it's a, you know, if you're not getting high with your friends, like you're doing it wrong. You're turning into a pothead, blah, blah, blah. But I like for a while I was only comfortable being high alone because I knew that no one was going to be judging me there. And I think if people like me out there are anxious to, you know, like maybe get high with their stoner friends because like their stoner friends know so much more than them. And like, what if they do it wrong? Blah, 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 blah. Like, it's just, it's okay. Just like sit on your couch with some popcorn. It's okay.
I think too, when you smoke with people, there's this like pressure to like have to keep up with other people and be like, say no when the joint passes you, you're just like loser lightweight.
You get that double joint where you get one and it's going the other way and then you're just like, then you end up with two and you're like,
staring at the ground, just like drooling.
Oh, that's not a good look. That's a very good point though. I think there's for like just in general, pain pills, whatever you take, infusions, you want to smoke some weed or eat the weed, like fuck a stigma, find what works and know that what works for somebody else might not work for you, but it doesn't make you weird. And what's normal anyway? Doesn't matter. You could do it alone. Fuck your friends if you want to be on your own. Because, like, when you wake up, you go take your pain pills. Your friends aren't there taking your pain pills with you. Like, so what? Same idea, right? Like, they're not sorting your pills with you. You don't need them there, right? Like, it's okay. Yeah, but like we get sold the idea of what weed should be, and this is what it should be like if you take opioids, and this is like, no, none of that is real. All right, guys, I think we'll call this one, and then we'll have another chat. So, peace out, everybody. Disabled Girls, out.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Disabled Girls Who Left. We appreciate all of your support and everyone who's taken the time to show us some love. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, or write a review of our channel. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Player FM, Google Podcasts, and more. You can also find us on Instagram @DisabledGirlsWhoLift.